facts surfaced about how the organized gangs could attack California stores in waves.
Peng Shuai, a female world-class tennis player who revealed how a top CCP official mistreated her in extramarital relationship and has since disappeared, now stands in the way to a successful Beijing Winter Olympics. Welcome to Wei and Cathy Show. I'm your host, Wei Fang.
I'm Cathy Zhang.
Wow, tonight is what? Thanksgiving Eve, right?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, just wish you a very happy Turkey Day.
Yeah, I just wish you have a great holiday and have a good gathering with your family. And this is indeed one of the special time that not only we have celebration, also because of the name of the holiday, Thanksgiving, right? Who should we be thankful to? And if you have your thought, just type it there. You know, who are the most people that you want to be thankful for? And actually today I did two programs with my Chinese audience on a topic. So basically, my point of view is this, okay? We have Thanksgiving. It's turkey, it's stuffing, it's pumpkin, it's just good food, right? Then when it comes to Christmas, it's buying the gift, it's having good times, shopping, things like that. Understandable. But if we recall the story where Thanksgiving come about, and it was the how the Christmas come about, right? Those are very, very profound issues in matters in the history. And at that time, this is we're talking about in November of 1623, right? When the first the pilgrims arriving in the Plymouth, and the surviving two winters. Okay, what do they celebrate is they are able to survive. They can live on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what sustained them at that time is really their firm belief. Okay, they find the new freedom, free land for their belief, for their religion over there. And so today, I'm just thinking talking to myself, facing all the difficulty or not so good situation today, but compared to the pilgrims, how are we doing? We're doing very well. So we really need to treasure what we have and learn from how they deal with, how they handle the difficulty and the challenge in front of them. And then we need to do the same thing. That's my little, ahead of the program sharing.
Yeah, I think still, I for myself, I'm still very thankful that we are in this free country, and we have the opportunity to talk to you, our fellow Americans in this program. So I'm really, really, we're very, very thankful to all of you.
Yeah.
Well, thankful to this country, the opportunity it provides to us, to us all, and have the opportunity for us to have the opportunity to try to preserve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cathy said, what I want to say, my second, thanks goes to you. Because of you, we have this show. Otherwise, Cathy and I won't be here. So thank you for many of you stay with us for literally 1 year, right? So we started this in late November.
Right.
It's just exactly, 12 months. So we persisted, and you persisted. Thank you very much. We're very, very thankful. And I think now is the time to reflect upon it and also carry on. All right, let's look at today's news. So the first has to do with, we reported to you about the crime spree suddenly popping up in the Northern California and the Southern California, and so many group robberies. So there's this term called the flash mobs, right?
Right.
That
yeah.
was like for entertaining, spontaneous.
Or they say like a smash and grab.
No, what I mean is the flash mobs was supposed to be a good term.
Okay, yeah, the entertainment group of singing.
Yeah.
And the dancing.
And this wave of organized crime, really, they just like a flash mob and steal and run away, right? So the inventor of the term flash mobs, he was very upset. He said this should be called flash robs. He wanted to reserve the flash mob to himself, to that kind of, spontaneous on the street entertainment activities. But anyway, so this is what we face. But we got some progress here, okay? We have some know-how about how it came about.
Yeah, and so the experts and authorities now found that those robbers are believed to be part of the sophisticated criminal networks that recruit mainly young people to steal merchandise in stores throughout the country and then sell it in online marketplace. The thefts are, or actually I don't think theft is a correct term. It's actually the robberies are ratcheting up as the holiday shopping season gets underway. So the president of a coalition of law enforcement and retail, Ben Duncan, said they believe it's not about someone who needs money or needs food. These are the people who go out and do this for high profit and for the thrill. And according to Duncan, those flash robs are usually organized by local people who recruit their crews and send them to steal specific merchandise requested by the criminal organizations throughout the country. And those who do the stealing usually get paid between $500 and $1,000 to take as much as they can and bring it back to organizer who ship it to other parts of the country. So Duncan said crew bosses organize them. They'll give them the crowbars and in some cases even like rent them the cars or provide them with escape routes or a list of products to actually go out and steal. It looks very chaotic, but it's actually very well organized. And he said it was meant to look like looting, but it really wasn't. It's a criminal entity employing other people to steal for them so that they can profit by selling it online. So it's estimated that the retailers lose about $65 billion each year to the organized retail crime, and the bulks were stolen by professional robbers. And Duncan said criminal flash robs are part of a growing national trend. So actually, I looked into some surveys by the National Retail Federation. In last year's survey, they had organized a retail crime survey. And it shows that organized retail crime now costs retailers an average of $700,000 per $1 billion in sales. And three-fourths of the retailers said that an increase of organized retail crime in 2020. And this year's survey, 2021 now, it shows that the societal changes and the shift to digital from the pandemic have led to an increase in the problem. And more than two-thirds of the retailers said that the pandemic increased the overall risk of their organization, and 57% indicated a rise in organized retail crime. So if we look at this year's survey, mm-hmm. about 69%, almost 70% of the retailers said that they had seen an increase in organized retail crime activity over the past year. They cited the reasons such as the COVID-19, the policing, change to sentencing guidelines, we know what that means, and the growth of online marketplace for the increase in the organized retail crime activities. And one of the most alarming thing is that the retailers report these gangs are more aggressive and violent than in years past. Some 65% of the respondents from the retailers noted that the increase in violence, while 37% said organized retail crime gangs were much more aggressive than in the past. And for comparison, in 2019, only 57% said organized retail crime gangs were more aggressive, with 31% said they were much more aggressive. And in terms of what are the cities suffered most from the organized retail crime, take a look. In 2020, the top 10, we can see that the top one is Los Angeles, right? And San Francisco is five top name, like is at the top five. And in California, another city is Sacramento is at 10. But look at this year, 2021, the first, and Los Angeles keep the top one. And then San Francisco rise to the top two, okay? And the Sacramento also, become the, number eight.
Mm-hmm.
So California situation definitely is worsening.
Mm-hmm.
And as the retailers noted, you know, what are the reasons, right? One of them is the policing policy. And a lot of people noted that we've talked about that, the Proposition 47, and actually other, you know, laws passed by the California legislatures and sometimes passed by the voters is to really softening on the criminalization of, softening on the law enforcement of the criminal activities. So, yeah, that's, and also let's take a look at what are the top items that those organized crime, retail crime bosses want them to rob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can see that the designer clothes on the top, designer bags, you know, things like that, detergent actually. And we noticed in California, you know, where we live, sometimes you see in those grocery store or the pharmacy store, some detergents or some, you know, it will be locked.
Mm. Why detergent? It's a good price?
That I don't know. So,
it must be not coincidental. Those guys, they are organized crime. They know what to grab. They got to have a reason there. Although we don't have that, we don't know that yet, but... Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like one thing I noted, sometimes because I interview people and they said, oh, you know, those people, they, because of pandemic,
mm-hmm.
Because of the wealth, you know, rich and poor,
mm-hmm.
Gap is deeper, you know, those people just, they don't have food or they just need food and money, more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the president of this organization said, oh, it sounds like, oh, if those people just rob because of such reason, it seems to be maybe more justified.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling. You know, no matter, I think there are always being have people are poor, right, in the society, but it doesn't mean that you can just steal or rob, and then it can be justified.
Actually, you can, if you can get away with the robbing, you know, stealing things, then, well, small crime will become bigger crime. So remember that in New York City, how Giuliani was able to, fix the crime issue in New York City. He went for the small crime.
Mm-hmm.
Stop all the small crime, then you don't have bigger crime, because there's nothing to grow from. Anyway, so that's the news for that, and but this, the good part is we got some more information about who they are and where they come from and what's the nature of it.
Yeah, I think it definitely helped those lawmakers to think about the policies.
Mm-hmm.
I saw in San Francisco they are talking about how they want to prosecute actually at least four of those suspects were charged.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, robbed the Louis Vuitton in Union Square.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated. And so next thing, let's move to another major topic of today. The main topic of today is about a female top tennis player. Her name is Peng Shuai. For those of you who have heard the story, can you just type it there so that we know that whether you heard about the story, this is a female tennis player. He's the Me Too story here.
Yeah, she actually is a three-time Olympic medalist. But now she seems to be, her case is standing in the way of the Beijing Winter Olympics.
Yeah, let me be more specific. Okay, this lady, her name is Peng Shuai. Okay, actually, in terms of women's tennis, she's number 14. Okay, but that's not just it. For the women's double, he's the world champion. He won the Wimbledon in 2013, and he won the Doha women's double in 2014, and also on the same year, she won the French Open. Okay, women's double.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other woman is the Taiwanese a player. So she's one of the top women players, you know, in the world, a tennis women player. So what happened? Okay, what happened? On the November 2nd, which is about, 22 days ago, okay? On November 2nd, and the Peng Shuai published, just wrote personal statement on the social media in China, all right? It's called Weibo. It's like our Facebook over here, okay? And she charged that the former member of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party's Politburo. You know, folks, Politburo is the top ruling governing body of the party. But if it is the top governing body of the party, that's the top governing body of the nation, all right? Because the party is everything. And this member, his name is called Zhang Gaoli, okay? And this Zhang Gaoli is also the vice prime minister, okay, or premier of China. Okay, so in that letter, in that statement, she charged that Zhang Gaoli maintained more than 10 years of this extramarital relationship with her, including forced sexual relationship and sexual harassment, things, and charges like that. And while the Zhang Gaoli commit those crimes against her, the Zhang Gaoli's wife was just accomplice, yeah. And she was guarding the door, and while this old guy, this guy is this Zhang Gaoli. How old is he?
He's 75.
75 year old. And yeah. This lady is the 35, right?
Right.
I think so. Yep. 35. And so the husband and wife is just forcing this little girl, 35 year old, and 10 years ago she's only in her early 20s, okay, to have this. This virtually in Chinese we call it incest type of relationship. All right, so she published that. The post stayed on the internet for 20 minutes, then it's gone. Okay, since then, her entire account was deleted, and her existence on social media was deleted. Okay, and then during that 20 minutes, a lot of other websites pick up story, and those are completely cleansed. Okay, in China, they're able to do that, okay? The party issue one order, the internet listen to the party. So all the posting related, I just deleted it. Even in South Korea has a TV series. It's called The Prime Minister and Me, Prime Minister and Me, which has nothing to do with this case. And that drama got deleted. You cannot play anymore. You cannot, cannot publish that anymore. And because the government is afraid of people going to, relate to that and allude to this this infamous, charge. Now, what happened next is this. Peng Shuai, this lady, is gone. She's gone from the public scene. Nobody see it. Nobody see her. And then, so time goes by for 2 weeks. She's not visible anywhere. She's not, does not exist on the internet, on the social media, and physically, she's not visible anywhere. So then, at that time, so many organizations, the International Women's World Women Tennis Association, and International Men Tennis Association, and the United Nations, and the U.S. International Tennis Association, and so on and so forth. So many, many, many. Organizations, especially from on the sports side, just asking where is this lady, and every time they ask, there's no answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So just a few days ago, okay, on the 17th, they arranged for there's this so-called video conference between Peng Shuai and Mr. Thomas Bach. Thomas Bach is the president of the International Olympic Committee. They have this meeting, okay. Just across the internet. And then in which this Peng Shuai said, I'm doing very fine. Please leave me alone. This is my privacy and so on and so forth. And sitting by her is basically the party officials over there. So after this, this talk happened, and Thomas Bach was very harshly criticized by so many people on the internet, saying that he is carrying the water for the CCP. Okay, and this poor girl, and now she's in the hands of the CCP, and this International Olympic Committee, they very, very seldom, if ever, you know, openly criticize the human rights situation in China. You know, backtrack to 2008 when the Beijing Olympics was held there. And then in this, so they never say anything, okay? Anything positive, and then suddenly they appear saying that essentially speak, collaborate with the CCP to prove that Peng Shuai has no problem. All right, so that's the business story, okay? After that, let me share with you the insight, okay? So just our observation. Just remember, guys, you know, we are from China. We understand how the situation there. We know that how Chinese government official, how they behave,
mm-hmm.
right? So it worked like this, okay? Top CCP officials abuse women and have extramarital relationship with them, sexually harass them. It's, in Chinese, we call it 家常便饭. It's so commonplace. You know, it's very common scenario. It's nothing, no surprise to any Chinese people at all. Just remember, we got this, the first Chinese communist leader, his name called Mao Zedong, right? Mao, Mr. Mao, Chairman Mao. And then Chairman Mao, after he passed away, his personal doctor ran to the U.S., wrote a memorial about you know how Chairman Mao treat the ladies around her. So the relationship is so messy and so dirty. It's not literally, it's not a Me Too thing, okay? It's us two, okay? And this Chairman Mao just have this relationship with so many girls and without regarding any consequence whatsoever. Nobody knows, okay? And then this is a common phenomenon with other top Chinese leader. They really got the freedom to reach to any you know any female, any ladies. Okay, now this is the issue. Why this thing happened and become a big deal? Okay? Normally, when such thing happened in China, okay, you don't heard about that. You never heard about that, including like a Chairman Mao. After the private doctor, his personal doctor, was, you know, just died in a very mysterious way after he published the book. Okay? So anyway, so in China, first is so normal and actually way more severe. But you never heard about that because of two reasons. First, the lady or the girl never dare to come forth, because for them to come forth, it means life and death. The second, if they speak out, you know, they got no channel. Okay, they won't get heard because not a single media would dare to report something like this. So in this situation, the developing in such a fast and uncontrollable way is because first, Ms. Peng Shuai just published on social media just like that. So on the social media where, you know, tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people on that social media, it's called Weibo, and that people copy the post and spread it very fast. So it happened without precaution for the party, the first reason. The second, this lady is virtually the champion of the women's double in the women's tennis. So he's famous, he's credible, many, many international association, at least her, you know, tennis colleagues know her so well. So it becomes something that, you know, international, how to say, the focus was zooming just right there, you know, right away, because people know her. Okay, because, and also because of the Winter Olympics was starting at in the late, I think, January, right?
February,
Winter Olympics. Right before the Winter Olympics, you got a top tennis player, women player, you know, facing this Me Too thing. And instead of, you know, the society, the whole China just try to, you know, just right the wrong she received, she disappeared, okay, to the international world. They just cannot deal with it, and they cannot accept it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
at that time, they apply the standard in U.S. to China. And the Chinese, the party never, you know, would never got used to that. They panicked. They don't know what to do, okay? Because it's really just a capital offense when you charge a vice prime minister with such a thing. Normally, she got to wipe it out right away, but because she's famous, It's a sudden exposure, so they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. So that's why in the past few days, they're starting to kind of release a little bit of information about her, you know, and then, you know, of course, the outside people just don't believe. And then they release a little bit more information. But right now, so there's also a focus on whether the United States will boycott the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So President Biden said he is considering a diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
So the New York Post, actually a few days ago, published an editorial saying six massive reasons why Biden should boycott Beijing Olympics. And among the six of them, actually two of them related to this case.
Mm.
And why is that? So first of all, the case of Peng Shuai, right? So the regime has disappeared this a three-time Olympian of its own, Peng Shuai, after she accused this former vice premier of sexual assault. So that's what New York Post says, the first reason, and one of the reasons. And another reason, it states that because CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, harvests the organ of prisoners of conscience, a nearly two decades long practice, and mainly they harvest organ from Falun Gong practitioners, which is a mind-body spiritual practice from ancient Chinese culture, and also from the Uyghurs. And the Beijing insists all organs are from voluntary donors after death, but the number just doesn't add up. So, actually, in this regard, a human rights group exposed back in 2015 that this vice premier, Zhang Gaoli, was actually deeply involved in the situation of, you know, where how the millions of Falun Gong practitioners are persecuted, and many of them got their organs harvested. So that's really a serious evil, you know, really evil crime. So what happened? I wanted to give you some information on there. Not a lot of media has such reported as such. So that was happened. Actually, you know, Peng Shuai, right, the tennis player, went on her post and saying that Zhang Gaoli always afraid of Peng Shuai will bring a recorder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, he's afraid of leaving any evidence or something to, you know, as some kind of a proof. So Peng Shuai said, oh yes, I have no evidence other than myself. There's no recording, no video, only her, you know, only myself. It's a real experience. The organization, the human rights organization, was actually able to obtain a record of Zhang Gaoli, of his involvement of the human rights abuse against the Falun Gong practitioners. So that happened on June 24, 2015. An investigator with the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, by assuming the identity of a secretary of the then CCP General Secretary Jiang Zemin's office. And he conducted a phone call and was able to talk to, at that time, Mr. CCP's State Council Vice Premier Zhang Gaoli. And at that time, he was visiting in Kazakhstan. And let's just watch a part of the investigation audio.
中共中央政治局常委张高丽调查时间 2015年6月24日 这样的我是江泽民同志办公室的刘秘书啊这个刘秘书你好江泽民同志呢有几句话让我转告你说最近啊有上万名法轮功习练者向最高检察院啊说最近有上万名法轮功学习练者 向最高检察院控告江泽民同志，说追究江泽民同志下令 折取了几百万法轮功学员器官的责任，说江泽民同志很担忧这个事啊，他希望您呢在政治局讨论的时候一定要阻止追究这件事儿啊，您能做到吗？啊，你要知道这个追究啊，追究几百万，这个活在法轮功学员器官这件事责任很大很重，您知道吗？您领奖的。
我现在刚上课吃饭。
啊，对。
刚下飞机。
对，我就说你回去了以后啊，这个事回去了以后，这个事您得要。
必须跟江苏区放心了啊。
好。
好。
还有一个，我想问一下啊。嗯，哎，你说。
啊。
还有就是现在。
回去了啊。
好。行，那你一定要得阻止这件事情啊！你要知道，这个追究江泽民下令采取几百万法轮功学员器官的这个事情，责任很重，很严重啊！啊，好，
好，
那行，
好，祝江苏的健康长寿啊。
Okay, so that's you know a major part of that investigative report. By this organization called the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution Falun Gong. So as you can, I hope you know everyone can see the subtitles where when the investigator asked you know about the General Secretary you know is worried about this lawsuit against him. Accusing him of ordering the harvest of Falun Gong practitioners' organs and in the millions of them, and he didn't deny, right? Zhang Gaoli, mm-hmm. as a Politburo standing committee member and the vice prime minister, he didn't deny and didn't show any surprise and didn't you know ask any questions and just keep saying okay, sure. And even asked to pass on the word to Jiang Zemin that you know be relaxed, you know don't worry. So the organization they believe that it's a proof that Zhang Gaoli was deeply involved in the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners with the you know harvest organ harvesting. And also the rest part of the audio I didn't you know put it on is that the investigator even said, oh, you know, another word is for the rest of the Falun Gong practitioners, you have to handle them well, you know, in terms of the organ harvesting. He said, oh, yes. So yeah, so that's exposed actually back in 2015.
Yeah.
All right. So it just continued with New York Post's editorial. The other four reasons they believe the you know the United States government should, but the Biden administration should boycott the Beijing Olympics. And other reason is like how they you know the Chinese Communist Party try to make the game as a propaganda triumph to put Lini Rifashida
mm-hmm.
is Olympia to shame. And New York Post said it's in reality it deserves the world's scorn far beyond simply not sending an official U.S. government delegation.
Mm-hmm.
So as a lot of people know, Lini Rifashida was a German film director, photographer, and actress known for her seminal role in producing Nazi propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason to boycott the Beijing Olympics is New York Post said the CCP has violated every provision in UN Genocide Convention in its horrific abuse of the Uyghurs in Xinjiang.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason is that Beijing utterly refused to cooperate in any real investigation into the origin of the pandemic. And that takes more than 5 million lives now. So, and the CCP had done everything in its power to muddy the water from the beginning. Another reason, the last reason, is that they crack down on the freedom in Hong Kong, contrary to Beijing's promise to the Accord, handing over the the island city Hong Kong back in 1997. CCP is now arresting anyone and anything that stands in the way, and also it's a war on the churches, on the Christians. And that they want no other gods before CCP's highest leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So at the end of this show, what I want to just share with you is, back in, 1620, right? 1620, the origin of the Thanksgiving Day. Okay, at that time, the pilgrim was running away from the religious persecution in Europe, and then came to the land of America. Okay, and then they went through the first two winters, almost died, half of them pass away, and the rest managed to survive to have this the Thanksgiving feast, right?
Mm.
So, compared to them, what do we face is much smaller challenge, okay, smaller difficulty. We still, we got a good living, we don't worry about whether we can survive this coming winter, right? But indeed, we are losing our value. Okay, our country is very much polarized, and then there's the fighting from both sides, and young people are losing our value, and that's what threatening the future of this country, and so this is where we are, right? So at this time, I want to say that besides having a good time, having good food, have a good gathering of our family. We also think about that, how we got this holiday today, right? Mm-hmm. 400 years ago, our forefathers have this celebration for surviving the winter, and they overcome so many difficulties. Okay, and now we have our own difficulty to overcome, and I say we should just as courageous as they are. That's what I want to say as the last. I don't have anything else. Kathy, anything? This is today's the Thanksgiving Eve, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any feeling? Yeah, please type it up there at this very moment. What do you think? And who are you thankful for? And what kind of message you want to pass on to other viewers?
So 92 Stone said congratulations on the year. You are awesome. Thank you very much.
We couldn't believe it. This is two Chinese American journalists who did only Chinese reporting, and now we've been, doing English. It's challenging for us. It's sometimes stressful, but we carry on for 1 year, and thank you for being there.
Yeah, and Deloitte said, I'm proud to get to know you folks. I've learned to appreciate your view on politics and life. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you
so much. Yeah, we learned a lot from you guys too, from your commenting and your suggestions. We also receive emails. So really, really appreciate that. It makes us feel like, we're very humbled and very encouraged to keep going.
Yeah, and also actually, Kathy has been leading an effort producing instant news, right? Has been for a while, so we will be producing another news channel, and we are developing another news website, and we'll be sharing with you in the near future. And how about that?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So this is only the starting place, folks, and let's do it together. How about that? Our dream is to recover the honor of the media, which is the fourth estate.
The journalism.
Of journalism.
Yes.
Regain the power of the fourth estate of media, honorable media, new mainstream media in the future. All right, thank you very much for staying with us, and hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I really wish you a very, very good, nice, happy Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, and we wish we'll stay together for long years to come.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.